It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along for the journey today, and it is a journey into a subject I know very little about. It's hard for me to understand. And Daniel, you were even saying before we went on the show today that this is very much open for dialogue for you, kind of a different subject than we've talked about.
Right.
Kind of relates to going back to school, because so many young people now are into different forms of self-harm.
At different stages, yeah. So we want to understand it, and this could include, I would say, the threshold, the banal, innocent-looking threshold is just an innocent tattoo, and then it leads up to mutilation. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who gets a little tattoo is going to wind up mutilating. It's just a doorway that if people are self-harming and mutilating and cutting and those kinds of things, they have gone through this. They have gone through this initial stage, just like the people who get a tattoo. Mm. And so I've kind of broken this down into four stages, and I did break it down to those four stages. So this has not been highly researched, that there are four stages. And whenever you see something that says four stages or four categories, right, that's pretty superficial anyway. Okay. So we're in good company.
But you think that some of this behavior does start with the very popular just tattoo. Tattoos have been around a long time. It seemed like it used to only be men who go off to war and they come home with a tattoo on their arm. But now entire families get tattoos. I have a friend who their whole family, as a family, go out and get a tattoo, you know, and just to kind of bond and have their own little club or whatever. So what's going on with the tattoo?
And they wouldn't see anything wrong with that. It's, you know, I guess you could ask the question, why do I need to? And by the way, let me back up a second. This is not to bring condemnation on anybody that's getting a tattoo. My daughter has a tattoo, as I mentioned in a previous show, and I hope she doesn't get another one. But I've seen people that I know well that have tattoos almost from head to toe.
Right.
But there's something, there's a psychosis that underlies that, you know, and at the very most innocent level, I would say that. First of all, you have to consider the culture and you have to consider the genre, because in some cultures, any kind of a tattoo might be taboo. In this culture, it used to be taboo. I mean, even if a guy came home from the Navy with a tattoo, a lot of times it would be in a place where he could cover it up. But nowadays, it's becoming obviously almost an art form. As a matter of fact, somebody said that the skin is the ultimate canvas, and that might be where to start. What message am I putting on myself? Am I externalizing? And a lot of times, what I find is that it's almost a detached way of having a value. Almost like painting a picture, an artist painting a picture, or taking a picture. It's something that the artist is trying to capture that's sort of like still kind of beyond them. So the art piece helps them to express it when they can't express it themselves. And even with like more serious self-harm behaviors, it does become a way of expressing something externally that's internal and I can't express it. So I find a way to express it externally by putting it on the skin. Well, even a person that's got a tattoo on there, you know, the American flag or something, there's a message there that they're trying to communicate to others. And I guess the question that we'd need to ask ourselves is, why do I need to put that on myself? What's missing inside that I need to put something on the outside? So the family that's going out to out on a vacation, and part of that vacation is everybody's going to get a tattoo. Sure, it seems innocent enough, but that's not to say that there isn't some psychosis underneath it, and the idea that I have to put something on the external so that people will see it. And I just think we have to ask ourselves the question of why do I think I need to do that? Mm. So there's that initial threshold or that initial step that a lot of people take, and it seems innocent enough. You know, all my friends have a tattoo. I'm going to get a tattoo. What kind of a tattoo am I going to get? Am I going to get a flower, or am I going to get a skull? What am I, you know, well, what, what is that, you know, really what's that about? Mm-hmm. Do I need to do that? Do I need to express something on the outside? Do I need people
to look? It seems to be a pretty new thing and kind of hard, very mainstream, probably the most mainstream other than, you know, getting your ears pierced, mm-hmm. which has been around forever. But it seems to be just kind of the thing to do now, mm-hmm. and people don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, going overboard and getting your whole body tattooed mm-hmm. or your entire arms, yeah. and they are just this ongoing work of art, that's a whole different level maybe mm-hmm. of involvement with this. Mm-hmm. But
So if you say the first stage would be to be a member of this group, of this genre, mm-hmm. and it may be very innocent. Maybe, you know, the cheerleaders all have a tattoo or something like that. That seems innocent enough. And then the next stage would be not only belonging to a group, but actually being a kind of a spokesman for the group. And so this is somebody who's now taking it a little bit further, and it's not just an earring or two earrings. It's starting to be, you know, multiple earrings or multiple tattoos. And this is a person. Now we begin to see more clearly that there's a psychosis, I think, underneath it.
Now, why do you say psychosis? That's kind of a loaded word. How does that fit into this?
It's an unhealthy mental perception.
Hmm.
And what's unhealthy about this is that it's beginning to find my identity wholly in this group, and beginning to want to be kind of not only associated with the group, but a spokesman in the group. And so now it's very easy for me to start to begin to express, as a member of that group, anger, partiality, and so on and so forth. So it could be a subtle change, mm-hmm. but you would see a person, you know, first this person is, just wanting to be, you know, kind of associated with I don't want to show up without any tattoo at all, because everybody on the football team's got a tattoo. And then the next thing I know, I've got tattoos on both arms and across.
Well, I think
my chest.
We're almost there. I think probably at least half of young people have tattoos these days.
Mm-hmm.
What about, okay, moving on to the next thing here, you say piercings. Now, is that, we're not talking about pierced ears necessarily for just the earring. We're talking about like putting a ring in your nose or.
Yeah, so some like, yeah, and there are different kinds of rings that you can put. These are almost shock statements, you know, and enlarging the ear lobe with
the
larger
gauge.
And larger.
They call those gauges. Yeah. And, you see that at the, seems like Starbucks. You see a lot of guys with gauges in there. And it's almost always men that do this, not women. Is that like a man's version of an earring or whatever?
We
understand what's going on with that.
Again, it's a way, it probably has something to do with genre, because obviously somebody starts it, and this would be a person who is kind of, you know, out there on the edge, making extreme statements. You know, people make extreme statements in a lot of different ways. I keep thinking of the guy who was I forget what they called it, but he had the bodysuit with the wings on it, and he'd jump off these extreme cliffs, and he died somehow the other, you know, some time back, but... I suppose other people are going to start doing that, but some, you know, bungee jumping or, you know,
so this is a way for somebody to say, I'm just expressing myself. I mean, it's a new form of self-expression. Pretty shocking. Though,
it's a form of self-expression, and it's a kind of a shock.
What are they
statement.
Expressing? What are they trying to express?
Well, ultimately what they're expressing, whether they realize it or not, is they're expressing the need for value, control, power. We talked before, and that's rooted in, shame and fear. Fear of not having value, control, and power. Fear of actually mortality. And I've long thought that this generation is embracing death in very unhealthy ways. And I guess the silver lining around that cloud is that they are also going to, if they can get headed in the right direction, they're also going to embrace eternal life more fervently. You see kind of the counter of this is, insofar as people have this morbid fascination with death, when they're brought to a salvation experience, they really demand a very full and deep experience in that. So I think that's a plus. God knows what he's doing, and as the cup of evil gets more and more full, the light gets more apparent. And so I think that there's a bright side to this. So but yeah, the more extreme measures of multiple piercings, or you know, tongue piercing, nose piercing, that you're starting to get into an area where this is an expression of anger. That's an expression of shame and fear, anxiety and depression is what's being painted on the canvas. You know, we were asking earlier,
stuff that's really, really harmful, mm-hmm, and dangerous, possibly. Yeah, like the tongue piercing. I can't imagine that that's, there's anything healthy about that, or that could really cause some problems.
Yeah. And then finally would be the final stage, as I've got them marked out here, and you can see as we've been talking about this that there's a great deal of overlap, and that's what happens when you have superficial categories, is mutilation. And probably some of the most horrible things that we've seen are ears removed, nose removed, tongue cleaved.
And tell me about a story. You were counseling somebody, a young person who... That's what they did, right? They'd had their nose taken off.
Well, this
ears.
Was just one that I saw. I hadn't seen this person, but it was pretty horrific when I didn't personally know this person, but it was pretty horrific seeing the head completely tattooed, no facial hairs at all, ears removed, nose removed, tongue cleaved, and you know, piercings. And this is just a tortured soul. This is, there's something actually demonic here, probably, very possibly. But this is a person who's grown up in a horrific childhood that I can't even imagine. And there's just not a soul there. It's very, very tortured. And what he's painting and expressing all over the surface of his body is just torture. And this is a person. So, you know, one of the things we want to do hopefully today is if we take each one of these and kind of say, well, okay, that's the level. That's where my kid is at, or that's where my friend's at. What do you do about that? So we'll kind of address that. But I'd like to talk a little bit here before the break, and maybe a little bit after, about how do people get caught up in this? Because you're looking at someone who's done something like that, where they're actually cutting, and actually cutting is becoming popular.
We haven't really talked about that so much. We can do that after the break, because that seems to be a whole nother form of cry for help.
Yeah, it's in that extreme area. It's beyond multiple piercings and ear piercings.
Yeah, because people do the piercing and the tattoos and even some of the mutilation things as kind of like a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. I'm bad, I'm cool, I'm part of this group. You know, look at me, I can handle.
Yeah, some superficial cutting can even be done to be a part of the group, and then, but you can see how that really has taken a major step toward mutilation, and it's really an expression of anger, and which is anxiety and depression.
Well, if people are struggling with this, maybe they've got a kid who keeps coming to them, and they just came home and they had some kind of something stuck in their nose or whatever, and the parents are besides themselves. They want that kid to get a good talking to. They should obviously talk to them themselves, but if they need even more help, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
You can call me at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. People also contact me through my email at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And your locations are, again,
at Kirkland and Edmonds.
Kirkland and Edmonds. Again, BibleBasedCounselor.com for details, or KCISRadio.com. We'll be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast, Understanding Self-Harm Behavior this week. Interesting subject. Be right back.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
And what is going on in someone's mind when they get a tattoo or a piercing or doing cutting or some kind of self-harm behavior? We're talking about this interesting subject this week with Daniel Pryor on the Sound Mind Show. Before we took the break there, Daniel, we were laying out some of these things, your 4 points, being accepted, fitting in, standing out, making a statement, expressing anger, self-hatred, it maybe moves into as well. I wanted you to focus a little bit, first of all, as we come back here, on the subject of cutting. This has become, it's kind of almost a secretive behavior for a lot of young people, cutting themselves, self-harming, and it's kind of secret because they can, you know, they don't show it necessarily. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can be up their arms or down on their leg or whatever. What's going on when a young person is cutting?
Well, so you said secretive, and so there are two kinds of cutting. One is secretive, and one is just blatant and open, and that's attention getting. And so let's deal with the attention getting first. I kind of first ran into that a number of years ago when I had a young man who was cutting himself, and the teacher turned reported it to the parents, and then they brought him to me, and he was cutting himself in right out in the open where people could see what he was doing. Mm-hmm. So he had a piece of glass and he was cutting on his arm, and so I was trying to understand what he didn't really have an answer for me, which is pretty typical of kids going through that. As we've said so many times, kids going through that age, if you say, "What's the matter? What are you worried about?" they will either act tough and they don't have any worries, or they don't know what's the matter, or they'll come up with something that's kind of off the wall, you know, that doesn't really hit the mark. But a lot of it can be the stuff that's out in the open, which is a lot of times superficial cutting, like it'll just be a scratch on the arm, almost like you'd get if you were berry picking. But it'll be kind of a scratch on the arm. Sometimes they'll want to draw a little more blood, and that's kind of like, you know, being the guy who jumps off the highest rock or, you know, again, extreme sports. People do this in extreme sports, being the toughest guy on the football field or, you know, the daredevil kind of guy. And so a lot of that is that. Again, the underlying message of that is to, you know, notice me. It's a response to fear and shame. Shame is an internalized message of lack of worth, and so by putting this... by letting people see me do this extreme behavior.
See, I'm tough. I can handle really a lot of pain.
Yeah, that's, yeah, you know, I'm very daring. This might even kill me, but here I go. By the way, usually cut the wrong direction when they're doing these superficial cuts. So it's whether they realize it or not, this is not particularly, it's not life-threatening. It can backfire on them maybe sometimes. But so it's a way of dealing with, you know, getting a sense of self-worth. In their peer group, in their genre, showing off, trying to attract attention, that kind of thing. Now, the hidden tattoos, and there's a common ground here, but the hidden tattoos are, that's an internalized pain.
You mean hidden cutting, you mean?
Yeah, hidden cutting. I'm sorry, the hidden cutting, that's an internalized pain that they're not necessarily trying to get attention. They're not trying to get attention from other people, and they do put those where it can't be seen. Again, though, it's a deeper level of pain, but it's again shame and fear, anxiety, depression, just at a deeper level. They are maybe more introspective than extroverted.
Yeah, I was going to say more the introverts secretly cut themselves.
And so the common ground, though, is, and the way this connects with a lot of or all of the self-harm is people would ask themselves, why do they keep doing this? And it's very simple. It's why they can actually form an addiction to this. And the reason they can form an addiction for a couple of reasons. One is it sort of deflects the pain from an internal pain, whatever the issue is. And for the kid that's out there superficially cutting and showing off, he or she probably doesn't realize that they have this internal pain, or they're in denial of the need for value and warmth and nurturing that. Perhaps it's too painful for them to, they maybe have an abusive situation at home or something, and it's probably too painful for them to face the fact that they have emotional needs that need to be met. So they're trying to stay tough. And so they've got that going on. Then the other people that acknowledge the inner pain and are cutting and maybe hiding it. But what's happening is it deflects the pain from an internalized pain to an external pain. Mm. Now, what happens is that the body, the brain, disregards the mental discomfort and rushes to protect the physical body. And in doing so, it creates endorphins. Mm. And those endorphins feel good.
So it's almost like a drug.
It's like a drug. Uh-huh. Yeah, so the endorphin, and so without realizing it, so somebody might sit down for the first time and, or, you know, a kid might get angry, or a man might get angry, or a woman might get angry and punch their fist into the wall. Mm. And then the anger goes away. And then they'll do it again because it actually made things feel better. What happened was the physical pain with that contact pushed the body into the fight and flight thing, and so there was this rush of endorphins, and they actually forgot about their misery for a while, for a short period of time. And so they're likely to do that again, and they can actually form a very strong addiction to that, because when they do the cutting, they're actually releasing endorphins, and the brain is concentrating on the physical pain, and the psychological pain disappears.
Is this ever a form of kind of self-punishment? We say self-harm, self-punishment. I mean, the stereotype of the, even the monk who's lashing himself, you know, to kind of, there's a whole order of time where monks were doing that kind of thing as a form of, was that what was going on there too? Kind of a form of releasing guilt and inner turmoil by doing some outer punishment.
Yeah, and the relief that you feel is actually your brain switching, your brain taking the prior, you know, deprioritizing your mental conundrum and prioritizing your physical pain.
Well, that was almost seen as a virtue, I think, in some orders, but that's kind of a different subject. But a kind of an extension of the same kind of thing, though, this self-harm to get some kind of a relief for inner turmoil.
So that's how that can become actually a pleasant behavior, and the tattooing is the same way.
So how do we help somebody who's struggling with this?
So let's just quickly look at these. As I said, I have the four contrived categories here, just because they're helpful. It's helpful maybe to look at things in categories. So the first one I've got down here is just kind of fitting in. And so the child is trying to fit in, the person's trying to fit in. So we're sort of imagining that this is a young child or an adolescent child. And so if you're an adult and you're experiencing these things, then it's still kind of basically the same needs and the same steps. So parents need to spend a lot of quality time with this kid. So this would be a child that's wanting to just fit in and get just a simple tattoo or maybe another earring or something. And as a parent, you're thinking, you know, I don't see in the Bible where you can't have, although somebody brought up the other day that there's a scripture in Corinthians about putting things on your body. But the parent may be saying, I don't really see anything wrong with a tattoo or another tattoo or something, but I don't really want them to do that. Well, what can I do to kind of help them to sort of get what they're needing inside so that they're not so driven to follow the group? So quality time, spending quality time with this young person and letting the young person express himself or herself. Now, a lot of times when young people express themselves, what comes out is a lot of mixed up gobbledygook because at that age, we don't really know what our problems are. We don't have that kind of perspective. But as parents, we need to let the, you know, the thing about the garden hose, you're going to get a drink out of the garden hose. You want it to run for a while first.
Right.
It's the same thing. You know, kids have to express things. And as nutty as they seem, parents just have to be there listening so that the kid has that sense that when I express this to my parent, I'm valued. And they're not sitting there waiting to take pot shots when I say something wrong or crooked, but just they're just listening to me. That's really what they need. They need to feel that they have a value and a place in the home. The parent needs to demonstrate genuine interest, and you can't fake that, by the way, parents. If you're not genuinely interested, you're not going to pull it off. So, patience. They want to feel that they have an important role in this family, and that can't be just patronizing. As a parent, I have to understand what is this child's role in my life? What is God doing in me through this child? And what is my response? So the parent, you have to contemplate these things. As parents, we can't be on autopilot. The next would be not just wanting to be a part of the group, but wanting to stand out in the group. So now I've got to have at least as many tattoos as the leader. This young person just needs to meet personal needs a personal challenge, and they need to meet personal challenges, and they need to succeed at those, so that he or she will feel that they don't need to show off and they don't need to stand out in order to be a success. And then we come to an expressing more extreme cases, and maybe here's where the cutting comes in, expressing anger and fear and shame. This person needs to find a place of love and acceptance They also need to someone to walk with them through their helplessness and their kind of their hopelessness, and teach them how to gain a sense of value, control, and power. Relationships and accomplishments are the way that we address fear and shame. So this is a person who needs somebody there just to mentor and coach and walk with. And when I say mentor and coach, I don't mean somebody from the YMCA necessarily, because parents can be mentors and coaches, and kids want parents to be their heroes. They really do. Mm. And then the last one would be the extreme cutting and mutilation. And this person, we may have a personality disorder here in all likelihood, and so they just need somebody that's got the patience and the time. And this would not be, in most cases, this simply would not be a child that's in a healthy home. This would be a young person that has not had a healthy childhood, and they're sort of out on their own. This person, unfortunately, because it's so hard to find people with this kind of patience, but they need somebody who can just be around them and love them and just where they're at.
Because, great deal of acceptance, love and acceptance.
Yes, yeah. A good church family where people can just kind of surround them with love and acceptance. And again, we're dealing with the personality disorder. We talked about those before. Those are difficult and difficult to change. But that's how we change those. So we've kind of scratched the surface here.
So to speak.
Yeah, so to speak.
Scratch the surface. Well, we want to understand self-harm behavior this week on the Sound Mind Show. If people are struggling with this with their young person, their teenager just came home with a piercing that they weren't given permission to do, or a tattoo, and they want to make sure it doesn't go any farther, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169. And also people email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And locations?
Kirkland and Edmonds. And we have the podcast, too, at the Counselor's.
Many great shows there at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Mm-hmm. All the wonderful podcasts of the Sound Mind Show with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.